life-changing experience. Are you ready to renew your mind?
Welcome to A Life-Changing Experience with Overseer Dorothy McGuire, the pastor of Life-Changing Church Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This broadcast is designed to renew minds and change lives through the Word of God. So let us join Overseer McGuire as she delivers us a transforming message.
Are you ready for a life-changing experience? Are you ready to renew your mind?
Hallelujah. Glory. Do you have your Bibles? Are you there yet? If you're there, say amen. Joshua, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse to the and ending at the 5th verse. Amen. Hallelujah.
Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. And I'm reading from the New King James, and it reads, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its kings, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him.'"
Praise God. Certainly with the aid of the Holy Ghost, I'd like to talk to you briefly today from the subject, "Just Keep Marching." Just keep marching. Hallelujah. I felt that. Yeah, just keep marching. Amen. Father, I bless you this morning, and I thank you for an opportunity to stand before you once again. Lord, I thank you for this word that you have impregnated in me. Now, God, I depend on you for a delivery. I depend on you, God, to let the people hear and be doers of this word. Now, I thank you again, God, for all that you've done and all that you shall do. I thank you for every visitor that is here to hear. Let them leave here, God, a new person, a better person, God. We bless you and we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just keep marching. Marching is a sign of going forward. If you see armies and you see all of the military men, when they're marching, they're going forward. They're not marching backwards, because to go backwards is symbolic of not moving. And nobody wants to just stand still. We all want to be moving somewhere. But I'm coming to tell some of us today to keep marching forward. Regardless of what life's challenges may be, you got to get your head up and just keep on marching toward the mark. Some of you all are probably sitting there and saying, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor. You really don't know what's going on in my house. You really don't know that my children are acting up. You really don't know that my husband is acting up. My wife is, and you just don't know our financial strain that we're in." Oh, I may not be where you are right now, but I've had my seasons and all of it. And so I say to you today, just keep right on marching. Regardless to what's going on in your life, you just keep right on marching. Keep your head up. So in the text today, we see one of the most unexpected, it does not make sense, war victories in history. All because the army just kept marching. Here we encounter the Israelites along with their leader Joshua. They're camped out at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho. And you know that when they came out of Egypt and they went through the wilderness, they ended up going over on the outskirts of Jericho. It was Joshua's plan to overtake the city of Jericho. But he had to wait for instructions. How many of you all know sometimes you need to just wait before you jump out and do stuff? I just heard elders say, I'm not a writer, I'm not a this, I'm not a that, but God said you are. But when he waited and followed the instructions of the Lord, amen. So the Bible says in the 5th chapter, in verse 13, it says, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua's question to the man was, whose side are you on? Are you on our side or are you on the side of the enemy? Now, that's a question some of us Christians need to ask folks. Before we get hooked up and locked up in certain friendships, we need to find out whose side are you on? Because I'm here to tell you, if they're not on the Lord's side, they're your enemy. There's no two ways about it. Either you're on the Lord's side or you're on the enemy's side, Satan's side. And when you have that kind of relationship with folk who don't believe that Jesus is Lord, their focus is different from ours. Amen. Amen. And so the man responds and he says, I'm neither. He says, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. When he said that, the Bible says Joshua fell down on his face in reverence to this man. See, we have to know when servants of the Lord are telling you that they are true enough, they're sure enough servants of God, we got to know how to reverence them. I'm not telling you to fall to your face, but there should be respect for the servants of God in some way. But whenever I come into the building, I don't always expect you to stand, but you do. And I thank God for you reverencing the God that's in me. It's not for me, but it's the God that's in me. Amen. When a judge enters the room, everybody stands. If you don't, you'll find yourself behind some bars. Nobody even have to tell you to stand. When the president of the United States enters a room, we stand up for the president. But some people have a problem standing for a man or woman of God in their respected offices. Am I right about that? Now, this man that appeared before Joshua, there are some theologians that say this man that appeared was the highest ranking angel in the Lord's army. Some say he was an appearance of God himself in human form. It doesn't matter to me. All I know is that this angel brought a message to God's servant that said, I have given you the land into your hands along with his king and his fighting men. When the Lord sends you a message, you need to hear it. Now, the next conversation between the man and Joshua is critical. I need you to be focused on this conversation. It's a critical conversation because it is here where the message that is brought to Joshua could have come to pass, or it could have fallen apart. It is in this conversation that specific instructions will be given in order to conquer the city of Jericho. When you are getting ready to do a project, you need to hear from the Lord. And you need to be able to listen, hear his voice, and follow what the Lord is telling you to do. And you see, a lot of time, that's why people get in trouble. Because they don't want to listen to the leader. They want to do it their way. But he doesn't talk to everybody. He talks to the leader. Because if you tell more than one person the plan, everybody has an opinion. He didn't tell you to do this. He didn't tell the other people. But the angel appeared strictly to Joshua. That was who the Lord told him to go talk to. And so here, this conversation, he has specific instructions that were given to Joshua that could have made or broke them. Overseer, why are you saying that it could have fallen apart? Well, the instructions seemed simple enough. Yes, they were simple, but yet they were complicated to understand. The reason for doing it this way, the orders are just too simple to the point that they do not make sense. You see, we kept saying to ourselves a lot of times when the Lord gives us something and it doesn't make a whole hoop to do, we too often are looking for a complicated victory. But when the Lord does something, it does not have to be complicated. It can be very simple, but yet it's going to come to pass. One of the things we as Christians have to do, we have to just learn to do what God is saying if you're hearing from him. And so all through the word of God, we see our Father giving instructions that didn't make sense to man. But nevertheless, it worked out for the good. What about in John chapter 2 at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee? You remember there was no wine. And the wine ran out at the wedding. But Jesus ordered the servants to fill 6 water pots with water. That didn't make any sense. But nevertheless, they followed the instructions. And guess what happened? The pots were filled with wine. Tell your neighbor it didn't make sense. But what about Moses being told to stretch out a rod, standing in front of a body of water with thousands of people beside him? That don't make sense. But the Lord said, take your rod and stretch it out. But when he followed the instructions, the Red Sea opened up and the Israelites walked through safely on dry land. Tell somebody it didn't make sense. Well, what about Gideon, who won a battle with just 300 men against an army of thousands? That didn't make sense. And if that's not proof enough for you, some folk got to have more proof. What about when Jesus fed over 5,000 people with 2 little fish and 5 loaves of bread? It didn't make sense when the disciples came up and said, these folk are hungry. And Jesus said, tell them to sit down. We're getting ready to have a feast. It didn't even make sense to his own disciples. But nevertheless, he told them, sit down. Everybody sat on the grass. And the Bible said, after he had sat down and fixed a meal for them, there was fish left over, bread left over. Folk could take home a doggy bag. It was more than enough. Tell somebody, more than enough. Oh, if you ask God for it, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. If you ask God for it, it'll be more than enough. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, God says things that don't make sense. But if God says it, just do it. Well, somebody's sitting there saying, well, overseer, how do I know it's God's voice? How many of y'all want to know that question? How do I know it's God talking to me? Well, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And the only way you can know his voice, you got to be intimate with him. You got to be close to him. You got to get used to hearing his voice. You got to be quiet sometimes and just listen for the voice of God. And let me tell you something. When you know it's him, there's peace that flows like a river. When you know it's God, can't no devil in hell tell you not to do it. That's why the house of Ichabod is going to be a success. Why? Because God said it. Don't let nobody tell you what to do with it. You take it and do what God told you to do with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It might not make sense, but if God said it, keep on doing it. Back to the instructions. The angel tells Joshua, march around the city of Jericho once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 trumpets of ram's horn in front of the ark. But on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priest blowing the trumpets. Are y'all hearing the instructions? Amen. Then he said, when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, that means you can't be talking and running your mouth. I mean, you got to be listening. When you hear the long blast on the trumpet, have the people give a loud shout, and then the wall will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in. Oh, my. As I was preparing this sermon, I said, Joshua had to go tell the army and the people that they were going to march around a city and win a battle. No guns, no bow and arrows, no machine guns, no 357 Magnums. How but they're going to have to go in this city with thousands of army people and take a city by marching. Tell somebody that don't make sense. I hear him telling the army, and I could just about hear them saying, what are you talking about, Joshua? We trust you as our leader, but have you missed this one? But if you say God said it, we're going to follow you. The Bible says Joshua called the leaders and the priests together, and with the ark in front, marched around the city for 6 days. How ridiculous they must have looked, marching all around a city. 6 days, not saying anything, marching triumphantly around that city, not talking to anybody, not looking to the left or to the right, but they just kept marching. For 6 days, they marched around 7 times, and then they went back to the camp. They did this constantly for the day that they had been given, marching 7 times triumphantly. But how many of you know that the Lord takes the foolish things to confound the wise? 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, the 27th verse says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. How many of you know that you're weak in some areas and you didn't think you could make it through it? But because you were weak, God took your weakness and made you strong in it. Don't you know sometimes you're too good, you're too strong for your own good. A lot of times you ought to just be weak sometimes. Let the Lord give you the strength that you need. You don't always have to be in control when you've got a God that's in control. You don't have to always have the answer. Let God give you the answer sometime. Hallelujah. Glory. So here they are doing this march. I asked myself, I said, what in the world kind of march is this? The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, it was a faith march. And he said, for we live by faith and not by sight. They didn't see what was going to happen, but tell somebody they kept marching. This march was a march of obedience. Joshua could have easily said, that don't make sense to me. Let me do it my way. And messed up the whole plan. This was a march of following instructions. Most of us do not want to follow instructions. Oh, you just want to go on and do what you said you're going to do. But don't you know, whenever you buy a product, instructions come with it. That's why, men, I love you, but when you put the kids' bicycle together on Christmas, you go and ask your wife, honey, why are these parts there? Why? Because you didn't follow the instructions. Every one of the screws go somewhere. Everything belongs somewhere. You got to follow the instructions. This is a march of trust. Joshua had to trust God on this. And it didn't make sense. But he trusted God. And many of you, God has told you to do things. And it could have brought you out of your storm. It could have actually taken you to your wealthy place. But it didn't make sense. And so because it didn't make sense, God, I'm not going to do it. God said, start the business. I can't get the loan. But God said, go ahead on and start making plans for your business. I don't have no money. I don't see it. God said, I didn't tell you to see the money. I told you to start making plans for the business. All he wants to know is, are you going to be obedient to what I ask you to do? Hallelujah. He said, he told me, when he moved me here from New York, he told me to do something that did not make any sense to me. I had everything going for me. Wonderful church, my beautiful grandchildren. I was happy as a lark. And he says, get up and move to North Carolina. I said, oh, no. It didn't make sense. But when God tells you something, he tells your leader. I went to my pastor. And I told him, the Lord is telling me that I need to move to North Carolina. And my pastor said, I know he is, because you've gone as far as you can under me. I was going to send you out to pastor, but I know that God is telling you to make that move. I said, what? I had a little attitude with my pastor because I thought I was important to the ministry. And you're telling me to go head on. I'm supposed to be here. But God had something better for me to do. When I got ready to move down here, I said, I don't have no money. And the Holy Ghost said, oh, yes, you do. And I said, well, where is it, Lord? He said, don't you remember that insurance policy you took out years ago? You never used it. It was a compensation packet. He said, you got money. I called the company. I said, this is Miss Wood. I took insurance out some years ago, and I just want to know if I can get any money from the policy. And she looked at it and she said, oh, you got a lot of money. I said, hallelujah. I said, well, I put my business voice on. Could you tell me when I would be able to get some of it? She said, you can get it all whenever you want. I said, oh, Lord. I said, send me the forms. I said, matter of fact, fax them over to me. When I got ready to move, I moved here. The Lord moved me into my sister's right there. I went to an apartment building. The Lord said, I didn't send you there to live like that. He told me to go up the street. The Lord put me in an apartment that was on the 9th hole on the golf course. That was swimming on the back. I had everything that you could possibly want. Am I right about it? I went in. I said, I can't afford this. The lady said, oh, but by the way, we got a special going for you. When God says it, Just get up and do it. Hallelujah. I didn't even have to pay. I didn't even have to pay a fee to even get into the place. I said, do everybody do this in North Carolina? But God said it. When God says it, it's got to work out. It must work out. Hallelujah. Here they are marching every day for 6 days. Yes, I'm telling y'all, advance march. Just keep right on marching. I don't care what it's looking like. I want you to keep right on marching. I know it looks hopeless, but keep marching. Yes, it looks crazy, but keep right on marching. Yeah, I know you hear people laughing and talking about you, wondering why you still stand there, huh? But you just keep right on marching. They're talking about, why in the world are you still staying on that job? I'm just going to stay right here till the Lord tells me to move. Why in the world are you trying to stay with that husband? Because the Lord said he would save my whole household. I'm going to keep right on marching. I don't care what it looks like. Keep right on marching. So they've done the 6 days. Day seven is here. The emphasis are on seven. Mm-hmm. The emphasis of seven times and 7 days. The Lord don't just give you a number to be giving you a number. There is significance behind it. This coincided with the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, celebrating God's defeat of the enemies of his people. It was at the first Passover that Israel marched out of Egypt during this Feast of Unleavened Bread. They marched into the Promised Land and then around and through Jericho straight ahead. The seventh day was the number of perfection and signaled the conclusion of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. They had a shout with the victory. And the shout he's talking about is signifying a war cry. That means when you shout, when you holler, that's your victory war cry. That's why when you hear the word of God, you ought to give a scream. You ought to give a shout. You ought to say it's victory. That's why he said to her, when you get there, I need you to shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So on this seventh day, early in the morning, the Bible says that Joshua got up and got his people together. And they marched around the city seven times. Except, tell somebody except. This time, they did not go back to the camp. Instead, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet, the blast, Joshua commanded the people. He said to them, now shout, for the Lord has given you the city. That's why you got to follow instructions. And the Bible says the people shouted and the trumpet sounded. And tell somebody suddenly. Let me hear you do a shout. Suddenly. Hallelujah. Suddenly. The Bible said that the wall collapsed and the men charged in and they took the city.
Kingdom greetings, saints. This is Overseer Dorothy McGuire, senior pastor of Life Changing Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I want to personally thank you for tuning into the broadcast every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. and online every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. on praise100.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you and you would like to purchase a copy of this sermon in its entirety or seed into this radio ministry, please send your request and or donation to Life Changing Church Radio Ministry, 3208 Riley Avenue, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28269. And if you are new to the city and looking for a life-changing experience, we invite you to visit with us for our 9:30 Sunday school and our 11 a.m. worship service, and on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our dynamic Bible study. So until the next time, be blessed, and again, thank you for listening.
Are you ready to renew your mind?